Hello and welcome to Conversations with Ascend Mum with me, Nicole Bateman, your host. This podcast is sponsored by the Supersensory Squad, who support young people in understanding the sensory systems and emotional regulation using their 8 amazing penguins. Today, I am joined by Sarah Fish from Focus Coaching and Hypnotherapy, and she is Ascend Mum herself. So welcome, Sarah.
Thank you.
So first of all, can you just tell us a little bit about you and your connection to the Ascend community?
So I am a Ascend mum. I have a son with autism and ADD, which we've known about officially for the past 7 years, but he's an adult now, he's 18 now. And I did have a very busy job and career as a manager in the NHS that ended. But in a way, I'm glad that it did, because it meant that I've been able to put the kids first and set up my own business on the side to support that.
Thank you. And I know there's connection there with your story and your anxiety. So would you care to share with us?
Yeah. So I didn't know till I was 41 that I'd suffered with anxiety all my life. Everyone called me, where I come from, they say a worriter, which is a worrier. That's what they say in Stoke-on-Trent. My mum was a worrier. I was a worrier. I just thought that everybody was like that. And I thought everybody felt sick and was sometimes physically sick before events. And, you know, even though you're really excited and you really want to go somewhere, for some reason you get poorly, not knowing that that was actually anxiety. And I've had a lot of trouble all my life with sleep as well, which obviously hasn't helped things, it makes it worse. And so in my career, I ended up in a very pressured job. I did lots of things to keep my anxiety, as I know it now, at bay. But ultimately, it just came all crashing down because of the place I worked was very toxic. And so I then discovered, when I went off sick, that I had anxiety through discussions with the doctor and the medication that I was put on at the time as well.
So throwing that into the mix with, you know, then diagnosis of your son and everything like that, how did that impact your anxiety at all? How were you?
I think that when you have somebody else to focus on, which you do when you've got a child with special needs, you're so busy pouring all of your energy into them and making sure they're okay, that you just park everything about yourself to the side. And you know what? I might have not wanted to do things for myself, but I would always do them for him. I would always, you know? And I think that's the thing. It's like you throw that aside because you know how important it is for them, for you to be their rock. And I think that you don't realise how much tension you're holding in your body and how much you're sort of pushing your feelings away. And I do remember about 2 years after his diagnosis, when we were getting the support we needed from the school and he seemed to be happy, I remember running his bath and bursting into tears with relief, because I'd had so many years of nobody believing me, which is hard enough as it is, and I'm sure lots of other people go through this and are going through this. But then to have a diagnosis and no help, and just, there you go, there's a label. You know, and all that the psychiatrist wanted to do was throw medication at him, and we didn't want that. It just felt like such a lonely place to be. And I think that then, when the relief comes that you've reached an okay place now, where you actually feel like life is relatively normal because you've learned a lot about it, then you start to realise just how much it's really been affecting your mental health. And then when you start to go through difficult times again, forgetting how hard it was, but the difficult times are going to come. And we're going through it now with him being 18. You know, it's going to keep happening. But it's about having lots of strategies and tools and to be able to put yourself first so you can be their rock, basically.
Yeah, definitely. And I think us as mums often put ourselves last in things and focus. I mean, I had those relief tears just in September, And it was floods of relief tears when we were in mediation for an EHCP, and they said they would overturn the no decision at that point. No, we haven't. We're still in the EHCP process, unfortunately. But that was over the no to assess to a yes to assess. But it was then I realised how much over summer, over those 10, 12 weeks since the decision of a no to then, how much it had been impacting me. I was dizzy, the physical things from the worry and the fight and my nervous system just not being, you know, it was on high alert. I was in fight mode with the council. And then you're like, oh, and I just cried in front of this person on Zoom who hadn't met yet. And she said, I agree with you. I'm overturning the decision. I was like, what? You believe me? And it's that relief of like, oh, wow. And then you realise. So, yeah, I resonate with that when you said that, because that was the experience over in September for me.
And you can't really control when it's going to happen, you know. It's just you just think, why am I crying?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, obviously you knew from that. But I was literally just running a bath and all of a sudden crying my eyes out for apparently no reason, until I realised that I'd got to this point where I thought everybody seems to be happy. And I think that's the hard part, is that when you've got children with special needs have difficulties and they go through phases of being very anxious and very depressed. And so you're trying to be happy for them, but you might be going through that yourself, and you're just trying to keep them alive. I don't know how else to say it, but that's people not believing you.
Yeah.
It's amazing how hard it is, isn't it? And even in the beginning, I don't know how it happened for you, but for me, I noticed.
Me too.
And getting your husband, getting your family to believe you. And they're going, no, he's just a bit, you know, oh, just a bit quirky. And you're like, yeah, but why is he struggling? Why is he sitting like this with his hands on his ears whenever we go somewhere that's a bit loud? And all those little things like that. And it is an ongoing battle, especially when people meet your child in a place where they are happy. They're okay. They appear to be okay. And so on the outside, everyone goes, well, clearly it doesn't really affect them, does it?
Yeah.
You know it does, because that bottle of pop syndrome happens. Yeah. Where everything might, they might be holding it all in all day until they come home to you, their safe space, and let it all out.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a pattern. Speaking to a number of different SEND mums over this season, you know, is that effect, that whether it's after school restraint collapse or, you know, things like that, where that masking and then the sudden coke shaking out, getting it all out and everything like that. So it's, you're not alone. If you're experiencing that and you're listening, you know, there are many others that have been through that.
Yeah, and it's also hard as well to get a diagnosis. If they are masking so much in school to fit in, then the school will just say, well, no, we have no issues. And especially if you have a child that is on the side of what they used to call high-functioning autism, that might be ahead of their peers but is struggling with the sensory side of things. It's like they think you're a crazy lady. I don't know how else to put it. They just think, oh, this woman is just, she's just a complete helicopter parent that's just making all these things up.
Yeah.
And it's always the mums, isn't it?
Yeah.
That tend to do the
true.
The battling, you know.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, I bought in the reinforcements for one meeting with my husband. But apart from that, you've got to just be constantly just being that, I suppose, what some people would call a pushy parent, but I do it in a very nice way. And I have a really good relationship with the school, fortunately, and they're great, but you do have to keep on top of everything. And that load, that mental load, can be a lot.
It's huge.
Yeah.
And then when you think about, I mean, at the time I was battling, I was in a supervisory type role. And so I would drop the kids off at school, and the walk from the school to my work or to the car was my phone call to say to the school, this is what needs to change. And then as soon as I got off the phone, I'm stepping straight into work and getting on with my job. There was no decompression, no time to decompress in between.
And that's hard. So if anyone's listening who, you know, is feeling quite anxious right now, who is, you know, is not got that decompression time or not much time to regulate and things like that, what are some tips that you would share with them?
I think it's very hard to get time to yourself. I know that, especially if you're a single parent. But if there's any way at all, if you do work and the kids are at school, just see if you can book an hour or two off and leave early and just have a little bit of time to yourself. Even half an hour feels like such a relief, because you just have this time. And when I say time to yourself, I don't mean time to clean, you know, and do the shopping. I mean to sit, read a book or listen to the radio or watch some comedy on YouTube, whatever that makes you feel back to yourself again. And I think that's the key, is we forget as mothers who we are. We forget who we were before, become this mother, this role that we play. And it's about remembering, well, what did I used to really enjoy that made me feel good about myself? And how can I just fit little bits of that into my life? Even if it's 10 minutes or 5 minutes, what can I do that I used to do? So you might be someone that likes gardening, but you haven't really got time for gardening. But it might be that you can just Google some plants and start to think about what you might want where, or some things for your house, or just or a book about plants or something. It's about finding the way you can cut it down into very small snippets, and then find those snippets of time throughout your week and choose to do something for you, not for anybody else.
Yeah, that's amazing. So Sarah, what is something that you like? What's something you find fun?
So I've actually got a little list of me. Off the back of that, I created a list of things. So I like reading. I love reading. I like doing a jigsaw puzzle, and the kids like doing that with me. So that's something we can actually do together. But I also like watching comedy. So what I used to do is if I left work 5 minutes early or arrived 5 minutes early, I would sit in the car and just find on YouTube one of my favourite comedians and just watch it for 5 minutes, you know? So it's getting me in this just laughing mood, taking your thoughts away from work and all the pressures of being a mum and just laughing, you know? So I do still do that quite a lot, and watch comedy clips. And I also go to a class now. And I think that's important. If you've got a partner and you can try and find things to do away from the house, I actually go to a carnival drumming class.
Sounds fun.
I get to beat drums.
Yeah.
Get to beat drums, let it all out, and have lots of fun as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the kind of stuff I love.
Excellent. That sounds like a great release, whacking the drums.
It is.
And everything like that. And if you're
really
listening, when Sarah said whacking the drums, both me and her were whacking up, pretending to whack some drums. For those of
I'm
you.
Going tonight, actually. I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent. That's good. Because, yeah, we've got to have some of our fun. Something for me is musicals. I love musicals. And when you when you listen to them, and when you're at that show for like an hour and a half or whatever it is, you're full on enveloped in that show and in that music, and you can't really think about anything else.
Yeah, and it's uplifting, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's lovely.
Yeah, no, it's good. I'm looking forward to many more of those in 2024. It's on my list of, you know, I need to go.
Yeah. Just and that's the thing, then you have things to look forward to as well, don't you?
Exactly.
You know,
exactly. It's very important. So, can you share with me and everyone listening, you know, something that you would say to encourage the SEND parents listening and kind of inspire them as they go forward in their week?
I think one of the biggest things for me has been to surrender to what is. And that's hard, because you might not want things to be the way that they are, but to just go, okay. And I think you have to have a little bit of it. I do this every morning now. So I think it's good when you wake up to not grab your phone. You might have to deal with kids straight away anyway, but to sit there, or while you're brushing your teeth, go, right, who am I? What is my role? Where are we right now? And appreciate where you are at, because it might be that yesterday both the kids were happy, or your kids were happy, or there wasn't as much resistance to do certain things, or they went to bed okay. And it's just about appreciating the good stuff, but choosing to do it every morning, because the more you start the day like that, the more the day continues feeling like that, and you feel better about whatever gets thrown at you.
Yeah, I love that. That's a really great start to the day. So thank you for sharing that with us. So if people want to connect with you, where's the best place to find you, Sarah?
Ooh, I'm all over the place. I'm on Instagram, focus_Sarah Fish. I'm on Facebook, Focus Coaching and Hypnotherapy. You can find me on LinkedIn, Sarah Fish. And I have a Facebook group that's called Beat Overwhelm, Find Calm. So that's just for... I did it really for anybody with anxiety. I started down the route of anxiety just because of where I've come from. And so I do meditations in there. I do a little bit of group coaching to help people maybe figure out what they want moving forwards, and just share some nice posts really just for support and tips, obviously.
Yeah. So, yeah. Excellent. Thank you very much for coming on and talking to me.
You're welcome. It's nice to meet you.
Yeah. And remember that each Wednesday, a new episode will drop in this podcast. And thank you so much for listening. If you want to connect further, connect on Conversations with Ascend Mum on Instagram, or join our Patreon community, Conversations with Ascend Mum Pod. In that community, we'll get a monthly Zoom where we can just chat about how we're feeling and connect with other Ascend Mums. There'll also be resources from some of the guests that I have spoken to help you along the way, and also from our sponsor, the Super Sensory Squad, to help kids understand their sensory needs, their sensory preferences, and emotional regulation. So have a lovely week, and I will see you next time.